At nights like this, and I wish I have like, what's those Italian drinks yang selalu people drink now? Macchiatos? Mercato? Oh, no, Mercato is a change of.
Is it coffee?
I think it's coffee. Yeah, it's coffee. And I had this one time.
Cafe Macchiato.
Yeah, that's the stuff.
Macchiato caramel something.
Yeah. Oh, but especially Lavazzi one, you know, the one sponsored by what this one driver ni for Williams F1.
But they're not sponsoring, so no free cloud. No free cloud.
that's why I can only announce into you.
Sounds fancy. Italian. Italian always sounds fancy.
What, the weird thing, and why is an Italian company sponsoring a Canadian? We will never know.
Do they own the company, perhaps? It can always be like that.
Maybe so.
Welcome to the Dialogue Log, the Gaming Matters Podcast.
welcome.
Episode 106.
106. Not sponsored by any coffee chain, unless you want to.
I mean, we are all coffee lovers.
Yeah? Yeah?
At least two of us.
I just grabbed the instant one, so I guess. Yeah, I mean,
that's fair. Like, we're not coffee snobs here. Like, instant works.
I'm not gonna go order a tall Americano. Apparently, a tall is actually the smallest size of a coffee from those coffee shops.
Grande, venti, something else.
Venti is the biggest, like, okay. And yeah, there's also like all those stuff with how much water or how much milk. Anyway, introducing the panel, we have Daniel over there.
Hello.
On the other side is Anan.
What's up?
And I am Amiro Macronos Ashraf, and I try not to think much about my coffee. I just need the caffeine, that's it.
I need that, okay. Before we say anything, I the last time we was going to take a coffee, and the last time I went to Negeri Sembilan to send back my little brother to his like dormitory. Me and my dad went to this much like small cafe. I don't know, it is somewhere in Serting in Negeri Sembilan. The coffee is only RM1. I don't think that doesn't exist anymore in KL. RM1 coffee.
No.
Now, is it the instant coffee RM1?
The Nescafe one.
Okay. Oh, the coffee Nescafe. One cup.
That's still cheap. That's still cheap.
No, that's cheap.
That's hella cheap.
That's hell.
Yeah, that's why.
That's hella cheap. Like, even in Ipoh, is like, okay, I want Nescafe or something. Even like they do 3-in-1, they charge you at least $150, $160.
That's why.
Like, Nescafe usually RM2 minimum.
Yeah, RM2.
Usually. So, RM1. That's a good one.
Man, remember the days when drinks ordered are less than RM2? What such days? Not
inflation. Inflation.
Unless you go to those small villages which basically are time capsules to the past, like I did.
Yeah, but other than that.
And some of them still selling soda in glass bottle.
Oh, yeah, that's the good stuff, man.
But everywhere else, what can you say? Numbers go up.
Numbers go up.
Which somehow we wrangle into a segue to the proper talk about video games. Hey, guys, numbers. Today's will be a hectic day if somehow you like open world ghost games, and also games with very nice art style but includes a lot of war, and also games where numbers go up. Now with a Dungeons and Dragons S setting. So yeah, two preference. Today is March 25. So three big games released today. That is, by order of I mentioned, that was Ghostwire Tokyo. And then Kirby and the Forgotten Land. And this one game that we are gonna talk about, Tiny Tina's Wonderlands. Hey, another Borderlands.
Eh. Hey.
How long was it until since Borderlands 3? It's not that long, right?
It shouldn't be I think it's 2019.
Yeah, it's
because I remember there was a backlash because Borderlands 3 is gonna launch first on Epic Games.
Oh yeah, the early days of Epic Games.
Yeah, 2019.
The heydays of 2019. But yeah, Wonderlands. We've got to play it early. Well, I got to play it early. And there's a review out there. So let's just jump into just rule initiative. Like, what do you guys want to ask me about this game? Because I have things to say, but I have prepared nothing.
No,
prepare the conversation. So you guys have to ask something.
Oh my god, this is like those presentation can in uni where you already done everything, but you don't expect anyone to ask any questions.
It's more the other way around. I'm not gonna do a presentation. You go and ask. You do the Q&A.
All right. Okay. My question is now. Because I think this is the first time the Borderlands series is here. Moving away from, you know, the pre-made characters, you know, like Gage, Rose, and I guess Maya and all.
Yeah, Maya. Hey, remember Zero?
Yeah. But okay, this is the first time they're going to use your own character. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
Yep. This is the first time you get to create your own character. The fun bit is because they lean down with the teaming, so you start your character as a blank slate, as in, you know how those tabletop figurines, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like your Warhammer figurines, right? You come and it's all like gray in color and stuff like that, right? You basically get that template. Now you configure it to your liking. So you can pick your body type. Funnily enough, instead of like body type 1 or body type 2, they call it this one or that one. Yeah, this one or that one. Pick. And also... literally call this one or that one. I cannot remember which is the masculine one, which is the feminine one, but it's either this one or that one. You also get to customize the height, change the head size... but the fun bit is that you can like adjust the eyes, the ears, the mouth, and the nose. I mentioned that specifically because these are the specific body parts that you can actually turn into overdrive, as in the sliders are off. The sliders are off. The limiters are off. Slide it and make your own monstrosities. You want to make it asymmetric, one eye is over there, slightly tilted 90 degrees, have a big nose and a small mouth. You can do that. Whatever abomination that you like, you can do it. You can make your curse creations.
So the FPS people also got their Elden Ring punya character creation.
Sort of. I mean, Elden Ring doesn't have too much about body size customization, right? Or do they have like complex stuff?
Okay, so the thing, it's available, but it's let's say that it's a legacy from Bloodborne. So the game has sliders for NPCs, But some modders, they managed to hack it so that available for players. So technically, yes. They're just not accessible without modding, so to speak.
Okay. So to wrangle that back, Wonderland's customization is not like as extensive as like The Sims 4, but you can get away with enough shenanigans. Also, there are cat ears, I should just mention.
And I'll attach.
You can make your own cat boy / cat girl.
Let's go.
The fun bit is that I managed to like me and Toffee, our friend Toffee from Kakuchope, we got to do some co-op session. Somehow, without any we just somehow coincidentally made two different cat people. He made a cat girl, I have a cat boy, we roll up as the cat gang to finish out the game. We're like, okay.
That is so much of like,
okay.
There's a Final Fantasy 14 when you bullshit, like, just enter the server. Oh, another cat boy, let's do raids.
I mean, that's the only like the weird hairstyle that you get by default. And throughout playing the game, you do get to unlock more different cosmetics. So, you know, your usual different makeup color or different armor color, armor designs. So those stuff can drop as part of your usual loot stuff. So more things to grind, as just more than just the guns. So what else you want to ask me?
How is the shooter portion of the game?
Similar to Borderlands 3, as in I still think this is basically best in class in terms of looter shooters. The shooting is good, the loot is good, at least right now at launch. Like, shooting stuff is still fun in a way that everything goes like ta 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 boom, brr, a lot of those stuff, which helps like kind of like mask the feeling that you are slowly chipping away a health bar, so you don't feel like it's the enemies are squishy, because shooting the guns is fun that you want to shoot them over and over again anyway. Like, you know how the talk are back, so you have that the usual shotgun where you fire like 6 or 7 pellets and those are the full what you say, everything in the clip. So then if you reload and if you put your fire type into, instead of like shoot exploding on impact, it becomes sticky, but when you reload it explodes, you still have that similar firework style explosions. Mm. It's still satisfying, like you shoot pachoom, and then you reload and then you crack, 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 crack. Oh, and you're gonna love all those numbers ticking up, because there's a lot of abilities that do critical damage. In fact, that you can build your characters to do almost every hit to be a critical damage, so you keep on seeing that critical letters over and over and over. A lot of stuff, a lot of explosions. So yeah, and loot. The feeling right now is that it is appropriately balanced in terms of, okay, then when you are doing normal encounters, you probably won't be expecting the orange legendaries to pop, but when you reach the end game where you get to like dedicate your time to like actually do grind out those stuff, it do be popping off. You do get weird orange legendaries. I found an assault rifle that's, I think it was called the bread slicer or the I think the broad slicer of haunted house, which is an assault rifle which has a graphic of bread on it. It fires trees, instead of ammo, it fires saw blades, and it comes in trees, so you have like a big white arc of three saw blades, and I think it's kind of homing as well. But when you use half of the clip in the clip, you can switch to your alternate fire, which is a grenade launcher, which also fire instead of a grenade, it fires bread, specifically a baguette. bread what? Gun.
A baguette.
A baguette.
That's one of the weirdest one. I think I saw one weird amulet. The flavor text called the red text. The flavor text says, "The test comeback's negative." So you know it is recent. It has all the recent referential stuff. Like okay.
Man, so that means that when the next Baller Line comes out, the next 3 years, or everybody's oh, this is cringe, man.
yep. That's what I conclude. With the humor, the humor is what you expect. A lot of referential humor that I don't think will last the test of time. Right now, it may be funny, but later on, it's like, what the hell do you guys? Two big referential humor, if you want to know. If you played these two games, there's a dedicated quest just to make this joke, which is like either you kind of like laugh it off or you're gonna find it cringe the whole way. One, Monkey Island.
Ooh.
Hey, there's a guy called Boone's Tree Wood. It's literally Guybrush Tree Wood with one letter missing.
Copyright free because Lucasfilm is already back now.
That's one storyline, and also I think you might heard this one other game where this one little RPG called The Witcher.
Okay.
There's a side quest called The Ditcher where you meet Geralt of Rivia.
Oh my god.
He references a lot. He slays monsters, he oils up his sword, he bedded ladies on a horse, he say all those, you know, all those checkpoint, they reference everything. Yep. Oh, he's a brooding man. Yep.
Brooding, yes.
He basically treats you. He's basically a sun. Yep. What else? Everything like check mark. Yep. They do all that. So I think that there are other references that I probably not, I don't get or I miss, but those two big game references that either you get it or and you laugh at it, or you get it and you just, oh god damn it, please end me. So it can go either way. There's no middle truth with the humor. It's either you laugh or you cringe. No between.
it's either a hit or a miss.
Roll of the dice, my man, to put it back into context. Roll of the dice.
Yes, you roll a 20 or a 1. No in between.
No. Oh no.
What else you guys want to know about Wonderlands?
Clap. It's the indies.
Unfortunately.
Damn.
God damn it, like every time I see him, I just want to like I just wish I can melee him and get dude some damage, because god damn it, he's back and he's as insufferable as ever. Which is sort of his charm, I guess. Oh, I think good news is that he's totally a side quest character, so you can totally skip him if you just don't want to bother. That side quest has a lot of stupid puns as well. He works at the forgery. He forges his way to work at the forgery using forge license. So now you have to help him forge some more stuff. Whatever. If you like puns, you like that one, I guess. Okay, what other things?
Since I'm going to play this one by tomorrow, and one more question, like it. Endgame? How? How is the endgame? Without spoiling, how is the endgame?
I will say whatever that is in the marketing material, so...
Okay.
The ending will... You will find it yourself. The end game instead of like you just farm bosses, because that's what Borderlands do. They purposely missed the memo on life services, and that's what you get.
Thank goodness. But
that's Borderlands. That's Borderlands. With Wonderlands, you do get an endgame mode. You can play this offline, don't worry. It's called the Chaos Chamber. Ooh. Which is essentially a dungeon run. But the dungeon run is scripted as, you go into this random encounter, you defeat the enemies. Sometimes the enemies are dropped randomly. There are like random traps and hazards in the map. And also, the map is basically one small arena lah. One small curated arena. Like, you have like a pool of these maps that you encounter during the, when you are questing in the overworld. So basically, you know how in JRPGs, right, you go in on the world map and then you travel into the tall grass and then, so basically they have the wonderless version of a random battle is that you go into a specified arena and you just defeat enough bad guys until the game says, okay, that's enough, take your loot and go, here's the portal way home. So that beat is part of a dungeon run. You do that multiple times and then you get to like pick curses, so make your run harder, which also gives you more better rewards. And by the end, you have like to do multiple times of that. I cannot remember how many, like one after another, one after another, one after another. I think you can basically, if you are doing it solo, they let you go if you die at least once. I haven't tried to fail and then you run, but I believe you can fail. It's just that, don't worry, it's not like if you miss your fight for your life and you dead, that's not the end of the run. So there's leeway here and there. The end will see you fight a boss fight, and then after that, you get to the loot room.
Ooh.
You can like, there's like a special currency, the endgame currency, let's just say that, where you can invest in like, I want some new, I want to specific, if like the loot drops have not been favorable to you, you can go to the very different shrines, the bunny shrines, and say, hello, bunny shrine, I want a shotgun, please take this end game currency, and then it'll drop like a few other more shotguns. Maybe you get some rare stuff, maybe it's just more delts, but you will get specific items that you want. So yeah, there's possible ways to like, I think the end game mode itself is structured well. The problem that I foresee is that the map rotation, there's only like a couple of those arenas that will totally gonna be on repeat if you keep on playing it over and over, so that might get stale for a bit, but at least the rewards are good enough to keep the carrot dangling in front of you is still good enough to keep you going.
I wonder what they're going to plan for DLC.
I think they've shared some stuff with the DLC, and I don't think it's that too promising. I think it's still like small. I think it's smaller scale compared to like
smaller scale.
Yeah,
I mean, this is basically like a standalone DLC in a sense.
Yeah, it's technically a standalone DLC. The fact that the theming of the high fantasy came from a Borderlands 2 DLC a while back. So they have to like, in a lot of the lead up to the marketing, they have to like, no, this is a standalone game. This is not a DLC. This is a standalone game. But as a standalone game itself, it's not like as extensive or as large compared to like a Borderlands 3. I believe it's a good thing because Borderlands 3 can get a bit, it can be a bit long in the tooth. Like if you want to replay it again, it's too tiring. Like you have to go through the bad story again.
Oh no,
the cringe.
But compared to like Wonderlands, a lot of the stuff is very like, okay, a lot of the stuff has been like removed from the critical path. Those are side content and properly side content. If you don't want to touch it, it's okay. And if you want to touch it later, it's okay too, because the leveling of the enemies will scale every time. So it's not a matter of, I think it was like this in Borderlands 3, where if you skip that level 13 side quest and then you finish up the game and then you want to come back, it's not worth your time because it's stuck at level 13 and all the enemies are like that. Next time around, it's scaled to you, to your level. Enemies are always at your level, one level higher, or maybe two or three levels higher. So okay. Yeah, this is still technically a smaller game, a shorter game, but at least a repeatable one. It's designed to be repeatable.
Nice. So they have learned from the lessons on Borderlands 3 and that other game that was launched for the PS5 and then downgraded to the PS4.
Well, yeah, and one last note about the story. It's not too cringe.
Thank God.
Like,
thank God.
Like, they don't try to make like, oh, epic moment where emotional damage. Nah. They don't try and do that again. I mean, the closest thing to like a reminiscent or them trying to do a Borderlands 2 again is that your the enemy, the big baddie, the Dragon Lord, he sometimes like say hello to you, try to be buddy, yo, what's up? But that's about it. The rest is just like Tiny Tina bullshitting her way because, you know, bunkers and badasses, she makes up stuff as we go along. And then there's a lot of like in-jokes about role playing, about tabletop gaming in general as well. So yeah, but that's about it. I don't think it's too cringe. You can tolerate it. Most people can tolerate it, at least. Yeah, I guess that's the Tiny Tina's Wonderlands. Like, it's not
interesting.
It's not like the best game, like the newest thing, the special big hotness of it. But if you like Borderlands, you're probably just gonna buy this. It's the same hot food, just with a new flavor on top. They made some changes, but still.
No, I'm going to say something very controversial.
Uh-huh.
Are you saying that Elden Ring and Borderlands are the same game? Because it's more Soulsborne type of gameplay, and they just added some new stuff here.
I don't say that. I didn't say that. You did. And
you have angered the horn.
No, you live in that consequences. I didn't say that. I say it to Borderlands only. And Wonderlands.
Yes, about the witch. No, for sure.
The Shadow Realm shall come for you now.
You're being invaded by... Look at the red apparitions at your back.
Oh my goodness.
Hey, I mean, don't rock the boat too much.
Yeah, we still have to paddle way out of here.
Some games are just already good enough. Make small incremental changes. It's fine. I mean, not at the glacial level as in Borderlands 3. That was like very... It was not worth the wait for some people, especially with that level of story cringe. But still, it's fine if it's not like world-shatteringly innovative.
Imagine.
As long as it's not like every year. I mean, if next year we have another looter shooter, Gearbox looter shooter, like in the same way, then we have a problem. We have a big problem. This is
like, I don't think two, like, two, I, three years, yeah, okay. Two, two, yeah, three years, okay. Mm. Like, I think like they're the new owners of them, Embracer Group, aka THQ Nordic, and I think they know like, okay, do like, I think the choice of making a smaller game, right, is probably by thanks to their new owners can hear, just take your time, make anything here.
That and also the pandemic.
And the pandemic as well.
In the credits they mentioned this game is developed through all of the development of this game is being done throughout the pandemic.
See?
So, a lot of work from home stuff. So, understandable if they have to scale it down. Yeah. That's Wonderlands. You can say it's wonderful. I see that.
Yeah.
You can quote me on that. But not about... I did not say the sanctimonious thing about Elden Ring.
Okay.
So, are we gonna roll the dice or what?
Oh, okay. Alright then, so... Yeah, we're gonna roll the dice. So, my topic of this weekend is... Since I've already done all my reviews for quarter one of 2022, I've been playing games that have launched a long time ago. This is like recent, more like five years ago. And both of these games they have the in their title.
I don't think that narrows it down much.
Okay, let me go more specific.
The crew. The Adventures of PMP.
The other one is
what
is
what?
The, and then you have to put another EF, another one, two more letters, EF.
The what EF?
So the, imagine this is a word lah. You have THE and then you put F. EF. So it becomes TEF. This is why I suck at Wordle. Your boy might be a Ben 4 for the the math stuff, the English proficiency in your lessons, but for Wordle stuff, I suck at it, man.
Why do we keep getting an anti-Wordle propaganda here? I mean,
that's the problem. My mod is 4. That means that is 4 is actually quite excellent, but...
but... I mean, if you don't like it, it's okay. Don't worry. It's not a... how do you put it? It's not like, you have to go into this bandwagon. No, if you need to prove your English is good. I'm good at Wordle. I have like 60-day streak, 100%. Nobody's gonna judge you if you haven't logged in Wordle today or whatever.
Yes.
I'm saying this hoping that we can nominate Wordle later this year.
Oh, Game of the Year Wordle.
Oh my goodness. We'll see if there is a slot for that, but I don't know.
Most surprising game. Yeah, there could be a most surprising game as well. Fucking Wordle.
If only they didn't get bought out, it can be running for best indie. But yeah, anyway, what's the game again? What was?
Okay, so I've been playing Grand Theft Auto Online, the new one that was recently released, and also the recently updated Crew 2. Because I'm really, like, quite bored after the Gran Turismo debacle, which we'll talk about later on. I got bored of playing Gran Turismo after that. So I've decided to play a game that also had terrible grinding at launch. Tapi sekarang it's better. Taka, which of the two games that have better grinding now?
I mean, I would be appalled if it's not an Ubisoft game.
Yeah.
I mean, say what you want about Ubisoft, right? But they know how to run a live service.
Yeah, you like... Okay, so...
How long is the Crew 2?
This year, in June, they'll be celebrating their 5th anniversary.
5 years of support.
Yeah. And I think that this will be the final year because... I think after the June update for next gen as well, I've been hearing rumors that they might be releasing Crew 3. But yeah, 5 is not that bad. to be honest.
I mean, and that's not even the longest of the
Ubisoft no. games. For Honor is 7 this year.
For Honor has like, survived this long.
Yep.
Madness.
Yep, this year they'll be the 77th year for Honor. That's how long. I am impressed for Honor can last until year 7. I mean, yeah, it is one of the kind of battle slash samurai slash Viking slash warrior.
Way too much these days. I cannot keep up.
Yeah, they have. It's very expanded. I think like only the diehard knows how to play this game.
And that's the fun part. I don't think anyone realizes For Honor has been going this long. Somehow they have enough people playing it. To keep it the lights open for live service. Like, what the hell?
7 years. Yeah, 7 years. Amazing.
What the hell?
Alright, so back to the Crew 2. Besides their free anniversary, this is their final, what, their fourth year final update before the big one in June. And it is... Okay, so one of my complaints for the Crew, which I didn't do a review because I bought it too late. There is no driving, basically. Like, for like, man, you have played the original Crew 2, right? The original Crew, which was given free. You have to drive everywhere to locations because you cannot fast travel. For the Crew 2 in the early stage, people complain that there's not enough driving. The fact that they can now, you know, take a plane to the race location ataupun just fast travel there and then you can just start the race like that. For this update, they've added this cross country treasure hunt. So basically you have to find out where do they keep a bunch of adventurers kept this very special car, which is the Porsche 398? Oh, 356. So, yeah, the 356.
Oh, the OG Porsche.
Yes, the car that according to the description now, a car that a movie star sadly perished in this car. Yeah, it's the 356.
Why is that the fun fact? Why did they pick that fun fact? Like, fun fact, someone died with this car.
Yeah, so now you have to do cross country trip from basically the whole map. You have to drive the whole map to find this car, the remains of this car, which is the Porsche 356, aka the car that the actor James Dean drove. And it's actually quite fun because basically, as you drive around, you know, the whole of America, like you start at Miami, which is where like the bottom of the map, basically, and then you have to search the car from, let's say, I think like from Texas, so to Dallas, and then they say, oh no, the car is actually at Los Angeles, so you have to drive to Los Angeles. And then after like a few chapters skips, and then like, oh, actually the car is actually back in Miami. You just missed it. And you have to drive it back.
Are you saying that the Crew 2 is a wild goose chase?
Yes.
around the country, like, oh god damn it.
Yeah. And I think like, it's also like it's actually in real life because according to Haggerty.co.uk, which is also connected to Gran Turismo, but we don't talk about that yet. Because this car, according to Haggerty, this Porsche was kept by a millionaire on his yacht. And when you arrive in Miami again, you have to find that yacht before you can get the Porsche, which is actually really cool.
Okay, cool. Yeah, tying back to the real life lore.
I mean, when they put that fun fact, I assume it's already according to real law.
Oh, it's actually Is it the Porsche 550 Spider? Is it that one?
Yeah, I think that's the one.
Ah, okay. I thought it was a 356. Okay. Different car.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense that somebody died in that one. Like, there's... you know how open-top cars, they have, like, those roof things... Not roof things. The back part of the car, it has to at least be high above the head so you don't get smashed to pieces when the car goes upside down.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 550 doesn't have that one. Some people learn the lessons the hard way, unfortunately. Oh, god damn it.
And then you'll be in the future, you'll be a part of, you'll be so fun. Oh my goodness. Yeah, it is nice. Yeah, this season, I think it's called the adventurer. So you adventure across the US to find, like, I think the first mission is just you find the car. The rest are just like, oh, treasure, like for Zamnia style. Like, oh, you follow these steps and then you can get to the treasure. Tapi yeah, at least get the crew to actually now is a better grinding game because you can do this one race. Like, it is part of the, like, of the Cannonball Run punya race. I think we talked about it, like, when it launched 3 years ago, I think. Three to four years when I bought it, like, a year later. And you can get $500,000 by winning that race. Can say about that the other racing game that recently launched. So now into the other extreme game, the most grindiest game that even defeats the likes of Gran Turismo, Grand Theft Auto Online. Let me set you the scene. Rockstar announced that you can transfer your character from last gen into the new gen, where you can get like $4 million for free. So basically, you delete your character for $4 million. Tapi that's a catch. You have to buy an office, you have to buy a car, and you have to buy weapons. Which leaves you, depending on what you buy and what office you have, what house do you buy, which leaves you only $1 million.
Oh, god damn it. There's an asterisk. There's a good old terms and conditions apply to it. Eh, god damn.
You're gonna get $4 million. Yes, but you have to spend like $3 million first. And then we can let you loose.
It's the old 90% off cap at ringgit. Bullshit, god damn it.
Oh my god.
Oh, I want to punch someone every time I see those kids. Maybe not some random NPC, but random NPC and GTA Online, okay lah.
Yeah.
Not a real person.
Okay, so what was the talent for Grand Theft Auto 5 expanded and enhanced? And then recently, before it launched, like last week, they cut off that part of the expanded enhanced and you just call it next gen mode.
Mm-hmm. Don't high hop too much. Oops.
Oops, CDZ.
Things have happened before, Rockstar. Don't hype it too much.
Yeah. So, okay. The only difference can I see is that they have, besides the 60 frames or 120 frames you're on PS5, is that the cars go faster.
Yeah, I've seen that. They've actually made some behind, under the hood changes to the physics. Apparently, the game used to be like if you run, you have faster frame rate, the car go faster or something like that.
Yeah, like, and since next gen can go 120 frames, might as well make the car faster anyway.
Which explains why they have to we make this car special only for next gen because we've changed a lot of the code so that you don't. But if you play the old version, the last gen version on a next gen console, do you still get that weird?
This is the weird part. If you let's say again, I want to play my character again from from the Xbox version. That's because I playing the Xbox version. No, the next gen version, the last gen version is now a new character. Because basically, when you sign the deal with the devil for that four, that fake $4 million, your old save gets deleted.
Okay.
So technically, you cannot bring that new car into the last gen, because basically, that is a new difference. That is a whole different save.
Okay. I see. That's how they stop. Okay.
That was part, like, okay, I understand. Like, imagine that someone accidentally did that. Oh no! I've grabbed the $4 million, but I don't like. I'm starting from zero. I want to go back. Oh no, you cannot, because that, like, basically that save file is now gone from the server. It is rather interesting how Rockstar is handling this one. The fact that basically, if you go next gen, no turning back. And I guess it makes sense, because, well, you're not going to come back to the PS4 or the Xbox One now, aren't you? When you already have the next big thing.
And we still want to keep running the PS4 Xbox One version because, you know, money.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, if you think about it, like, even though, like, on paper, at least to us consumers, as players, the changes may not be as much, but I can already see the back behind closed doors, under the hood, the folks at Rockstar have been, like, scratching their heads, like, how are we gonna do this? Have you thought about this? You know how this game is running right now? Well, those conversations have happened. And they have, like, figured out a lot of stuff that we only see as, like, oh, a small upgrade only, huh? Which is always fascinating. It's always fascinating to see.
Lila, and after reports that RDR and RDR2 are spaghetti code, I'm not surprised. Something might do shenanigans under the hood, eh?
Look, at this rate, I don't ever believe that a video game has pristine, clean, properly organized codes. I don't think that's such a thing. It's always gonna be some spaghetti in there.
That's why I'm making mice. That's Cyberpunk. It's too much spaghetti.
Oh, wait. The news. Hold on.
Okay,
keep on continuing.
Okay, so okay, basically, again, the new GTA Online is, I want to say, it's beginner friendly, but not really, because you really can't do much with $1 million. Because if, like, let's say, if you want to grind, like the game tells you to, because when you pick either of the offices, so basically an office and nightclub, or Gunrunner, or maybe the gang, the drugs, you know, the biker gang, all of it should be done online. So basically in a public session where the guys with like millions of dollars and of those flying bikes that basically takes you down in one shot, basically, all of them flying around, which is a bad idea. And I don't know, like, this is the weirdest way to introduce a game for new players. This is the weirdest way, because they, after you've done the tutorial, they kick you out into the public lobbies with not the players with your level, by the way. It is with players with any server when you land on. If it's a server with all of the new players, okay, you're fine, but there is a 50% chance you might join the server with, like, 1,000 level players with the said flying bikes that will kill you in one hit at some point multiple times.
They just make a system to, like, segregate the
hardcore
players already.
It costs money!
You know
that
what?
That costs money!
Not segregating gives a lot more people reasons to spend money.
That's why. Exactly. It is like it is the weirdest. Just like I think like the last time we talked about Grand Theft Online was during the new contracts mission, before that. It is the garage thing, the new auto show stuff, which I said. I think I remember saying that yo, this is beginner friendly because this is a good way to grind money. But that garage costs like 2 million, and you only have one. So you still need to grind to get that part. And the thought, like, it's absurd how Rockstar is doing this. And the game's not even free. Technically, this game's not even free. It's $9. It is 40 ringgit.
If you're gonna make crimes, you gotta hustle. That's all the big takeaway from playing GTA Online. You're gonna hustle hard if you wanna make money from crimes. Oh, or God. You pay money to get up top. Yet here you are, still enjoying it?
Yeah. I cannot lie. I mean, like, because for me, I like playing the grind because it's fun. Because you, 1 million, oh, okay. Because back then, back in the old days, you know, during the early PC days, you have to start from zero and no money. The only way to grind is to play the heist. And you know how bad it is with randoms. So I guess they got it half right at least. It do be like that then.
It do.
And that is, I guess, that's 3 weeks in a row complaining about video games.
What do you mean? We haven't properly start the complaints.
Oh yeah, we haven't started the complaint. That is later. That's like what, in coming up.
What later? I think that's next.
Well, so it? Let's go.
Are we
yeah,
going to the news.
Yeah, let's go into the news. Oh my god. Okay, before that, there is a recent. I think you're gonna hit this Mac because I just saw. This is recent news. I literally just now, hot off the presses, they are announcing GTA Plus, where for the low price of $5 extra, you can get 500k given to you every month.
What in the world is your goddamn? I want to like. I said, is there something that I can defend straight right now? Because. I have the GTA urge Plus. To defend straight something, like eating something out of a window for those who don't know the word.
The penetration.
Oh my god.
You can pay for a subscription to get more money.
Yeah,
you pay money to get money.
You get money.
For $5, you can get 500k.
What is this? Is literally money laundering. You convert US, you convert your ringgit into GTA dollars. Money laundering at its best, Rockstar. Let's go.
Oh my god, what the fuck is this?
official, let me check. I want to
yes,
see.
Yes, it is on Rockstar Games right now. I have just
written
it.
SL.
Yeah.
What in the actual. Sir, I want to check your credit information. You have lots of active subscriptions right now. You subscribe to Netflix. You pay for your internet connection. What is this GTA Plus?
All right. Okay. So before we go to the topic, like, let me ask you a question to our few listeners. Is it worth paying $5? To a game that sees you becoming a criminal? Are you that morally bankrupt to literally pay to win? Now, this is just pay to win. God, every month you're paying $5 to win, basically.
So you subscribe to PlayStation Plus, and then you subscribe to GTA Plus, and then you subscribe to Dota Plus.
That's what you're already paying so for PS Plus, Xbox Live, Game Pass, whatever, and now you're paying this bullshit.
You subscribe to PlayStation Now as well. You can do how many subscription layers do you want? This is already like third layer. Like if you get the game from PS Plus. And then you subscribe to GTA Plus. You have to use a double layer subscription there to make sure, hey, pay your money, pay your dues. Ah, god damn. Like, the worst part of it is someone's gonna pay for it.
I am not paying this. I'm sorry to say, but this is not morally bankrupt. I don't care if GTA 6 is going to be the next Elden Ring. No, I don't care anymore.
Okay, so how many people are going to lift up pitchforks for the actual news that we're going to talk about? Will this thing elicit the same pitchfork raising a mob that was the implosion of GT7.
Okay, let's go. Okay, let's talk about GT7.
Oh my god.
Okay lah, we talk about the 30 hour punya, the 30 hour downtime first.
Yeah, start at the top. From the top. It was okay for context. Gran Turismo 7 is an online only game despite all the single player features that it has. This is because all the saves have to be connected to the cloud. So when the servers are down, you have no access to your saves. So you can only have like a handful, like literal handful of modes that you can play. Basically, the game is not on. You basically cannot play the game. No progression can be made when servers are down. So usually, this from the trends right now, GT7 has a weekly schedule of maintenance, like every Friday or every Thursday around that time. And for Malaysia, that's like around 2 to 4 PM, which is the time where people who have jobs and commitments will never be bothered by it. So they pick a good time for at least our time zone. But still, the idea of an always online game, and there is server maintenance for largely a single player experience, is either alarming or already a deal breaker. Okay, fine. But so far, since GT Sport, they have done this, and they have gone for almost, oh, it almost felt like they have gone with it scot-free. People who play the game seems to be like, oh, okay, this is a thing, and I'm gonna raise my hands up. I already felt that way. So then what happened on, wait, was it last week or last week? It was last week.
Last week, yes. It is on, let me check. I think it was the 22nd?
No, 22nd is still this week, is it?
Last week, so 17. It is... Yeah, 17. Yes, 17.
17, 18, around that time. Servers went down. It should be a 2-hour maintenance. 30 hours later, or around that time, more than one day, essentially, only then the servers go up. And the worst part of it, while waiting for the extended maintenance, all we got was an update note where it says like, oh, we're gonna adjust... I think the wording is like something around, we're gonna adjust how the credit rewards are being paid out, and people who got into the update early because they didn't like didn't just like shut the servers and then it went off indefinitely. It's more like shut the servers, it was on for a bit, and then they shut it back. Some people who got in there look at all the balance of the changes to the credit payout, and what we saw was like a lot of them have been nerfed. like from like 30,000 credit to 60,000 credit payouts slashed to half, 30,000 credits. To put into reference, at that time, the highest paying reward, what was the Fisherman's Ranch? Around 65? Yeah,
yep, 65, and then plus the bonus, it would be 95.
Yeah, 65k, and do a clean race, you get around 95k. 95k will set is meager, because in comparison, if the one with if you look at the more sought after classic cars that only comes at a limited time, such as the McLaren F1, which costs like what, 18 million credits, right?
Yep, 18 million
credits, and you can do that one race, the highest payout race, sort of you can get 100k. How many times you gonna do that? Rough maths.
Alright, so I think it's around 100 lebih.
You're gonna do 10 to get a million, roughly. So you have to do 10 times 18.
Ooh, 180 times.
That alone is already, that is rough math. That is
math. A stretch math. Already. Yeah, that's already a stretch.
Again, the highest payout. That was the highest payout, and that got nerfed. Which is why people went ballistic. Like, it's a double whammy. You know? Server down, people are angry, but online, always online. And then you see payout got nerfed, and then the audacity of Polyphony, they put on like in the rotation of new cars to get, because again, the highly sought after cars have a rotation system in terms of, oh, today, maybe we have 5 cars, and then until enough people bought it, and then it comes sold out, and then it will be grayed out for quite a while, and then they put in fresh inventory in there. I think one time during the week after the server went back, there are 2 18 million plus cars.
Yes.
Oh, God.
So the feeling, the community is feeling that, yo, believe
what
me.
The fuck?
What are you saying that we have to play like 808? You want us to grind how many times to get the cars?
Yes.
Okay, of course, the assumption should be that the cars shouldn't be like those expensive cars, because like at the time of that, the maximum that you can keep credits is like 20 million max. So those expensive cars can be considered like end game high reward. Like, that's the ultimate goal. It's not something that you're gonna get that in like week 1 or week 2, week 3 of launch. But for whatever reason, they put the cars there so people wanted to get them, but they cannot. And even worse, there's microtransactions. And even worse than that, you have to pay hundreds of ringgits to get the same enough money for like that 18 million credits.
Yeah,
that you have to pay like a whole new game.
Oh,
yeah, for the price of a virtual guy. This is some EA playbook, man. Like, seriously,
like this, like, it's totally because of incompetence. Like, they did not know how to run this sort of service. They absolutely understand nothing of the space, that you cannot get away with this now. GT Sport, they can. Because, A, the game was a multiplayer title first. So, the single player crowd who would have been mad at this are already not sold. They didn't get the copy. And then, two, the microtransactions was stealthily added as an update. It was not there at launch, so people don't get that kind of feeling. And also, see, in Gran Turismo Sport, you basically get a free car every day, and that you can also get a 20 billion car. There was one, I cannot remember when, I did get the good gacha rule where I get a 20 million car. That's basically your SSR drop. But nowadays, GT7's gacha system is very stingy. You can get a car or a meager reward of 5,000 credits. Okay, 5,000 credits. The most minuscule of reward is 5,000 credits. How many 5,000 credit rewards are you gonna get until you can save up to a McLaren F1? And you don't get gacha that often. There's no way to grind for your gacha tickets. Like, hence, people got mad, and it transcended the GT community. Like, I've seen videos by the usual, you know, the usual content creators who like to dogpile on this sort of stuff. Like, oh yeah. God. And I see like some people around the mutuals I have on Twitter have started to dogpile on. They have no interest in Gran Turismo at all. But suddenly they saw whatever apa?
They saw blood in water.
They saw go. Oh, Kazunori Yamauchi post a apology statement. Oh, he said that bad thing. This is totally EA stuff. Oh man, everybody's dogpiling. And the worst of all is that the people who just like, what is GT? And then they saw that, nah, I'm not buying GT. That's the worst part to see. Like, they just like signing off like, oh, God damn it. It pains. You feel the pain, you know. Like, especially is the game that you really like. That I really like this game. Yet I'm also mad at this. But the damage has been done. Look at that Metacritic user review score. Bomb. The damage has been done. I don't think people gonna remove the review bomb.
No.
And in the worst part of it, it only lasted 2 weeks. 2 weeks before everything crumbled, the live service crumbles. 2 weeks. It's not even like half a year. It's not like a botched up, a very unpopular update later down in the live. But no, this is right after launch, after everybody is like crazy. Yeah, GT is back. Review scores 9 out of 10, 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10, or something like that. And then suddenly, live service sucks. Online. Microtransactions, boo. And it's just like, oh God damn it, Sony, please, if you want to do live service, do it proper.
Yeah, like, okay. Check it. Like, I understand. Okay, I understand. Again, you want to monetize this game. This is, you know, it is a racing game. Where you guess, oh, I think you can monetize it. But you I gotta understand. You had 30 hours of downtime for an update that sees you people pay less, where the races you do are not going to pay less, and now with the Metacritic at 1.6 at the time of recording, I think it was lower. Like, I think like this morning it was lower before that this apology came out.
I saw like 1.5.
Yeah,
but I think it dipped until 1.3 or something, which still around that range, still bad.
You are doing on the two extremes of it, because there is Forza Extreme where they give you supercars like nothing. Like, here, have a Bugatti Veyron in the first hour. Or a Ferrari FXX, the most rarest car in Forza Horizon stuff. Oh, you give it for you for free. And now you're on the other extreme. Holy shit, I'm grinding 180 races for... Well, it's essentially the car that you drive in the final super license test.
Ooh, but thankfully there is a proper apology, like proper life. You know, there's a checklist for a proper life service apology. You have to say sorry. You have to update the people. What went wrong? To the best of your ability. Just give enough technical details that make you people just enough, and then
the apologems. Give up.
Yeah, apologems. You gotta give the apologems, and then you tease stuff that are gonna come soon.
To just
keep people hope that we're gonna do better. So that didn't arrive. After when it launched, the servers went back up. That apology did not do well.
No, the first one was the first one was just terrible. That is, see me after class. That is not how you do a apology letter.
No, you cannot do that. No. I think after posting that, some people from Bungie might have said, "Oi, no, here's the template. Use this template." Okay, so they are promising like, "Oh, we're gonna give you out like 1 billion credits." You know what? I have never have in my bank balance in GT7 1 million credits at one time. So
that's a big
very big reward.
Thank you. A very big thank you, to be honest.
I mean if I wanna be greedy, it should be 2, but still 1 million, thankful enough.
Yeah, 1 million you can get like 3 GR3 cars. Ah.
Or a lot of those like cheap Econo boxes in the used car dealers.
Yeah.
Get yourself a old VW Golf or something. 10 maybe if you want to get that trophy or whatever.
Yeah, 10 of that you want to get trophy.
Why?
10 car the place.
Yeah, there's a trophy to get 10 of the same car.
10 of the same car. Oh my god.
And some people said on before launch that Gran Turismo 7 should be an easy platinum. 10 the same cars in this economy.
10 in this age. And then the online, the 500 miles in online, excuse me?
Yeah, that long term one is one thing. Like, I think the, what is it? Like, doing 50 races in multiplayer is easier than actually get 10 cars of the same kind in your garage. Like, oh, what the hell?
Yeah, in this economy, yeah, what the hell?
10 cars in this economy. What else? Oh, they tease that we're gonna add new events with better rewards. There will be at least there will be a few endurance races, 1 hour races, where they will be reward appropriately. Now there was a mention that online racing, when you race online, the payouts will be increased as well. So a lot of the stuff they are saying right now is the stuff that we want to hear. More events, more ways to grind, more rewards to lessen the grind.
I'm hearing this kind. I am hearing that for that Todd Howard punya meme, the sweet little life.
I mean, we'll see when the update drops lah, how much it will change the economy. But right now, they're saying all the right things. But we'll have to like put them into what's the term? We have to do the check and balance lah.
Like this girl, folks. They were, before this last 2 weeks, they were easily the winner of Racing Game of the Year.
I would argue easily top 5.
Yeah, easily top 5. But after this,
it's gonna be a Forza Horizon 5 situation again, isn't it?
Yeah. If Tesla's are limited, kan, it's just... I don't know. Test Drive Unlimited is very, what do you call it, an unknown right now, because there's no gameplay video at all. So let's see, Test Drive Unlimited gets it correct, gets the feeling of the first game correctly. They will win it immediately. They will win it like that. We pass our finger.
Because of one oopsie. One little oopsie.
A very big oopsie.
It's literally the straw that broke the camel's back. I mean, if the server didn't wet down, it's still gonna be a bubbling problem, but it won't
have
gotten this much attention.
The pasta pot boiled over, guys, and then the pasta itself burned, basically.
Lesson learned here is server down. The longer it takes, the more bigger the explosion. Don't let your pasta boil too long.
No, yeah, don't.
Dude. But yeah, we'll see how GT7 evolves over time. They have to do a lot of stuff to like rein back people's trust. At least keep the fans happy, at least. I mean, we've lost the normies. We can't do much about that. At least keep the people who actually want to play this game over and over and over to be happy at least. Please don't put them in the Stockholm syndrome.
Like, okay, like, I understand you. Oh, and those who saying, oh, the same people that say, oh, you just don't understand the grind. No, don't bring the word grind into Gran Turismo 7, please. You don't understand the grind.
Look, I have already issues. Like, they are trying to do a lot of, like, oh, let's make the car owning experience similar to real life. Look, I do not want to get invitations to buy cars. That's the one thing I hate.
I don't want. Yeah, I don't want to be invitation,
like,
to get.
What the
hell? If they want to make the real driving simulator, can. If you want to buy that Ferrari, you have to go to Ferrari Finance first and buy the cheapest Ferrari. If they want to go realistic, go all out. Yep. And then like, after you buy the car, you have to wait 1 week where they will finally ship it to you, where you have to check your own oil and all. I mean, we already have the check oil and engine punya tu via GT Auto, so might as well give away the waiting game lah. 1 week waiting for a car. or worse, man. Mm-hmm. If you want to go to, let's say, Le Mans, you have to wait 3 hours. So let's take a flight to Le Mans. So to want to drive to your car and drive it to, let's say, Le Mans, it might take a day, and then baru boleh dapat drive the racetrack.
No, wait.
It's a free-to-play, wait. No.
Hold on. You want to make the game worse? I have an idea. Le Mans is only playable when the actual Le Mans track
is
set up.
Oh my god, they have to wait.
When
the
actual public road is closed, and then we say, Circuit de la Sauf, limited time event. Circuit de la Sauf is only this... is only available at this specific time. We are gonna give you bonus endurance event. Any other time, you cannot race on this track.
My god. That's evil. That is evil, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Everybody, every GT fan will be hounding on Jim Ryan in the office the next day. The very next day.
Look, there is a certain merit on, like, replicating the experience of real life in video games, but on the other side, we should embrace what video games have allowed convenience to people, like the fact that we're not gonna be buying new tires every time after a drift session, the fact that we're not gonna be paying for fuel. Please. There are things that might be fun on people, but remember, video games should be fun first. It's a simulator, but not that kind of simulator. Oh, man. That's enough of cars, but do you guys want to roll into the smaller car news quickly? There are two car news.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, sure.
Before the other one is... probably a bigger topic, so mm-hmm. Last, okay. Yeah, Forza.
Oh yeah, Forza is getting a new story content, but it's not an expansion. It is just life service story content. They finally figured it out.
It's how you do life service.
But the crew did it on the first year. The crew did it on the first year, kind of those life, extreme life. They got it right the first year. No, that's why the game has been standing for 5 years. People like to it every 3 months. Oh, here's a story mission. Takesa, like, it's terrible or not. Like, oh no, you're doing a formal camera wall run. Yeah, people like to do story mission. It's the time that they can come back and play the game. Forza has been doing the season stuff sampai sekarang, and they finally figured it out. So, a big clap to Playground Games.
Hold on, I need to check, because I think Forza Horizon 4 also adds...
No, expansion. That's only expansion.
Wait. No, they did add the Top Gear stuff.
Alright, okay lah. Yeah. The Top Gear style. Okay, I give it that at least.
Yeah, they added the Top Gear stuff like as a post-launch stuff. Okay. So not that new, but yeah, they are doing this. It's about drifting. And you get a Mark E as a reward. Not just a normal Mark E, but a ridiculously overpowered 1440 brake horsepower electric car Mark E. That can
drift.
That can switch to rear-wheel drive and all-wheel drive with the press of a button, like literally.
Oh yeah, the press. Oh yeah, the press of the button for the DRS or DRS-less Mercedes.
Instead of a DRS button, it's a drive wheel change. Like, okay, that's new. That's new.
I guess like I wouldn't mind downloading Forza again for that. That's how interesting it is.
New stuff is always welcome. And what's this about?
Oh yeah, but this one is much more interesting, the second topic.
Excuse me, what is this?
What is this?
All right, so a bit of context. So last year, an indie developer by the name of Botster made this very interesting game called Bloodborne PSX for a Game Jam, which is basically a remake of the very popular Bloodborne game. But what if it's a PS1 remake? A remake, sorry.
She also mentioned fan game.
It's a fan game. Yeah, it's a fan game. It's not for
full. It's a fan game on itch.io. I tried it. It's really good.
Okay. So recently, like, just now, this morning at the time recording, he also announced that they will be making a kart racer in the form of Bloodborne kart. It's a she, sorry, man. Yeah, it is a Bloodborne kart, basically. And they have a title, like, and they literally make, like, a title screen punya team, and it's amazing.
Interesting. So it's the same project, right?
Yeah, it's the same project, yeah. It's the same developer.
Oh, it's still, like, Bloodborne PSX. But in card mode.
that is her plan. Like she's just like, oh yeah, we're done with Bloodborne PS1 debate. Now we're making Bloodborne card.
And I should also put the context in that there was a whole meme about Bloodborne card. So somehow someone is making the meme
into reality. The most interesting fan games.
Yes, someone prayed to the Eldritch God and got their wish.
Which Eldritch God then? Like you only get half the wish. It's not the actual official game, but close enough.
Yeah, I mean, okay, you get Bloodborne on PC and Bloodborne card, but it's PS1 graphics.
The monkey point.
The monkey point.
You get Bloodborne on PC and Bloodborne card. Yes. What's the caveat? Is the PS1 they make? Okay.
I mean, still good. Yeah, but that doesn't come yet. No graphics.
But at least it was 60 frames, huh?
Yeah.
But it's good. You cannot say that about the PS4 version.
What's the Bloodborne equivalent of a blue shell then?
Oh, they haven't implemented it yet.
Any guesses? I have no idea about Bloodborne lore. That much to know.
Okay. Blue shell. What does blue shell do in Mario Kart?
It will take down the leader, basically.
What item take down? I don't know. We have Molotovs.
Now Molotov is the red shell. I think Molotov is the red shell.
So yeah, what's the better Molotov? An overpowered Molotov? What would that be?
I don't know, man. Okay. Not a lot of consumable in
Blood. No, we need the advice from our friend in the Shadow Realm for that one. For that answer. He might know what is more powerful than the Molotov.
Yeah, probably some weapon from powder kegs.
Pretty well, I think.
Okay, look,
anyways.
If you can do a dex build for your Moto in Bloodborne, that should be fine.
Dexterity build.
The dexterity build?
I mean, well, compared to the strength build, you want to build a big boy? Okay. That's a fun distraction. And the last bit of news.
Ooh, the last bit of news.
Because I think this would be interesting to you guys, but I just like the nitty gritty of what has been announced.
All right. So, CD Projekt Red. I think that's how you pronounce it. CD Projekt Red. They have announced that they will be making a new Witcher.
Ooh.
Okay. All right.
A new Witcher.
Yeah, and using a new engine. Unreal Engine 5. When I saw this name, the first thing that comes to my mind is like, well, shit, there goes Cyberpunk.
Before that, I should mention that last year they've mentioned that they're gonna spread the team into two. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. One team's making the next Witcher game. The other is continuing to be making Cyberpunk 2077, which is still on track to be getting an expansion.
Yes. One expansion ke atau multiple expansion?
It has been like, I don't know, a year. We're still waiting for the big one.
Yeah, like all the rumors say that, oh, it's multiplayer. Nope, nothing. And then, oh, it's
Listen, I just want new story content, okay?
Yeah, same.
No, they have X the multiplayer stuff. I mean, have you look at the reception at launch and how a technical mess they have made? And you want
it
to make a movie
like that, yeah. You want to have another 76 moment?
So they've like cool down on the idea of making like Cyberpunk to be a GTA Online-ish thing, but nah, let's make a normal game. Because, you know, the fact that they are changing to Unreal is the big news for me.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God.
These guys have been making their own proprietary engines for how long?
The first Witcher.
Yeah, I think it's first Witcher.
Second Witcher, yeah. The first Witcher is using UE. Yeah.
UE3.
Yep. That's why they had the janky combat. Yeah, now I remember. Yeah, it is. Hence, they have that janky combat there.
And it's not just like they're gonna get, we just license UE5, but apparently they have like, you know, the term here is like quote unquote partnership, you know, the big word right now, partnership.
So wait. My mistake. It's not the UE engine, it is the BioWare engine.
Aurora engine.
Oh. Yeah,
oh, the Aurora.
The BioWare engine before they switched to whatever the heck is Unity before they themselves switched to UE3, yeah. So the Jade Empire engine then. That's how long is it?
I think it's longer than that. I think you can trace it back to Baldur's Gate or something.
Oh yeah, the Baldur's Gate engine, yeah, that's it.
But yeah, on the Unreal Engine deal, it's a partnership in a way that the people at Epic, the technical people at Epic and CD Projekt Red will be in close relations in making Unreal Engine 5 to suit their needs to be quote-unquote to make an open world game. Okay. And here's the thing, I need to ask you guys, is Unreal Engine 5 finished yet?
No.
Still in development.
That's right.
Is it still not ready for life?
No.
I mean, UE is always, Unreal Engine is always on development. Like UE4 is always on development. So in a sense, like, yeah, whatever.
Like, the fact that it's always continuous development is one. But is it like UE5, is it like feature complete to at least ship games for games to be made?
I don't think they were released to like public, like full version, saving data. Like,
The first game kan that's gonna be using UE5 is supposed to be again Stalker 2, but well, you know what's happening right now at their country, so
yeah.
So that is a problem in itself.
Has Fortnite transitioned to
not yet. It's still
no. No, it's still UE4.
It's because you know, Switch. Oh. Because Switch.
So that means that the real last look at Unreal Engine 5 was like what? The Matrix demo?
Yeah, the Matrix demo. That.
Yeah.
Huh. It's still rough then.
Yeah, it's still rough. That's
yeah, it's still in preview, basically.
Early
access.
That's the bit that I didn't like got the full understanding. I thought EU5 is like already like ready to go. Games are already in the works running with that game. Like, okay. That puts a lot of perspective with this announcement. That I guess they're getting one of the biggest open world games developer who have seen a technical mess or two or three would be very beneficial for them to develop the tools and solve the problems so that the game engine do work for to make this sort of games.
Also, for a modding perspective, the Red engine is not exactly modder friendly. I mean, it is. You have a set of tool chains and specialties to like even start modding. Like, that's why it should be easier, I think.
Yeah, easy because Warhammer. I think like the new. The new one that's I think like coming 1.0 soon, that has like a Nexus support that's already I think like the new top 20 the top 10 Mountain and Blade 2, the new one under UE4, that's how moldable it is.
Yeah,
I mean, have you looked at Sifu?
Oh yeah, you can play it. Yeah, that's how modable UE4, right?
Yeah, Unreal Engine and even Unity is pretty much modable even for beginners.
Yeah, people
I tried to delve into modding for Cyberpunk. It's not pretty at all, especially when it comes to asset extraction, like you want to extract models and stuff. It's not easy, man. A lot of work.
And that's with the engine, the modding tools given yet?
Yeah.
That's how bad it is, my goodness.
Yeah. Even if you go to their Discord or their subreddit specifically for Cyberpunk modding and Witcher modding, that you have to be experienced modders, not newbie modders for the engine. So yeah, I can see why UE5 is a good choice for the Witcher franchise. Also, yeah, this is not going to be Geralt's story.
No.
I assume.
I think it'll be Ciri, I think. Might as well.
Maybe. Or maybe like a new school. Like maybe because they have the new medallion, right? So School of Links.
Yeah, could be new. I think like the funniest part, like do you know how good the models are? Like they made the models on the Red Engine has made their own DLC using the voice of Geralt to make it AI as well for new content. That's how good they are. To the brink of it might be infringing copyright.
Yeah. I mean, the modders for Witcher and Cyberpunk are pretty dedicated. And they're saying it lightly. Oh,
Hopefully, good things are to come.
Mm-hmm. But not the main soon. Question is, will it be RPG or is it another version of Gwent?
Oh no.
What? Oh, for this, I think this is proper. Like I think the standalone Gwen is, there is a few more standalone Gwen campaigns, right? I think in development. At least one is coming this year.
Yeah, I was just joking, but what if they just pull the rights? Okay, we're gonna make a new Gwen game with UE5 instead.
No, that's just stop getting it.
The numbers, you know, the profit with just tanks Jintu je when they say, oh, this is actually this is actually a witch a Gwen game under UE5.
They do a little bit of trolling,
which will backfire you.
And you know, one little oopsie, what can happen?
Oh, the dog pile!
The dog pile and review bombs will await you, and they have already experienced that firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
farming center. Oh god. Okay, I think that's it.
That's the podcast.
Wow, what a podcast. Banyaknya complete, so many complete.
You know what? Because we have not much to look forward to, so we just look at the current firestorm. And that's why you need to announce new stuff a lot. Probably next time we meet, there's probably gonna be some big news dropping. We'll see. So what's on the thumbnail?
Millions and millions and millions.
Oh yeah, Mac, do you know the cash for the credits for your screen again? But put it like, I don't know, zero ke?
You want to put the GT credits thing?
Yeah, the GT credits.
So number go up.
Number go up.
The podcast theme of the week.
The numbers go up.
Numbers go up.
If number go don't go up well, we riot.
What else?
Catboy in there.
Yeah, Catboy.
And the Porsche 550.
Ah, yeah, the Porsche 550, yes.
On fire. Fun fact, someone dead. Yeah, I guess that's about it.
An episode.
Porsche links. Daniel?
Alright, go first. You can follow me on twitter.com at FL4KY. I don't have any reviews coming out, but I did do a preview of this very nice game that's coming next month. It is Euden Chronicle Rising, which I think Meg will like it. It is both RPG and town builder.
Is it Metroidvania-ish?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay, cool.
Interesting.
Yeah, you can read out my preview of the game there. And I guess my next review will be, I can give you a hint, it's Cyberpunk. But not the Cyberpunk, it's Cyberpunk S.
Cyberpunk team.
And then?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, drop near the R4UPN1R, the R4UPN1R. Check out my latest review of Asus ROG Phone 5S. Awesome phone. Yeah. Mac?
And I have been Amirul Mekronos Ashraf, MECKRONOS. Find me on Twitter there. A review for Tiny Tina's Wonderlands is up on GamerMatters.com. I think there's gonna be one more other review from me coming to the site. Expect a few more indies coming in this like low. How do you put it? the calming down of April. We're gonna get like low key Q2.
The low key Q2.
The calming, wholesome games are starting to come out of the woodwork. The indies have time to sprout out. The AAA big budget titles will only haunt us back like until what, July, August. So it's gonna be like relaxing time. Hopefully relaxing times. No more dog piling and forgetting to turn off the pasta. the water pasta. The boiling water in the pasta. Anyways, that's the Dot Log, the Game Masters Podcast, and
oh shit, I just bought another copy of Cyberpunk.
God damn it, God.
Someone save me.